and Patriots, 319-366-1600.
Let me have it. I got it.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, Studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brabelkamp Show.
Eagles by eight. Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
That was the radio voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese. He's been on the call for the Eagles since 1977 alongside former Philadelphia wideout Mike Quick. 94.1 WIPFM in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania with the call last night as the Eagles, a 41-33 winner over the Patriots in Super Bowl 52. And here we go. Matt Patricia officially announced as the new head coach of the Detroit Lions today. ESPN fueling the fire that perhaps Rob Gronkowski is going to think about retiring. Does this feel like the end for the Patriots? 319-366-1600. Super Bowl. It's on our mind today. We're going to touch on it all over the place. But John Walters from Iowa State will be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour, his weekly segment with us as always. Mac McCausland, same thing at 5 o'clock. And we'll hear a little bit from Iowa men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey. The Hawkeyes gearing up to host Michigan State tomorrow at Carver Hawkeye Arena. They got pasted, waxed, beaten, however you want to look at it, 82-58 on the road at State College Saturday night. You can say words to describe that game. Most of them are four letters. Most of them will not fly. The Todd Brabelkamp Show welcoming you in for another week. We hope it's a great one. All three frequencies, 1600 AM. That's where you'll hear the Cyclone Courtside Show later tonight with John Walters. 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City. Good to see many of my Iowa City friends on Saturday night. A big tip of the cap to you. And 107.5 FM, our North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. Alex, it's snowing outside.
Yes, it is.
And I think snowing and it's snowing.
This is the punishment that we got for a really good Super Bowl.
It was, I know Mark was talking about this on his personal Facebook page last night. Perhaps not the greatest Super Bowl, but certainly in the conversation for most entertaining. It was an entertaining game. There was not a moment last night watching that game that I didn't feel entertained. And this will tell you everything you need to know about me. I follow a Twitter account that is run in the voice of a dead United States president, and that Twitter account tweeted out in said dead president's voice that that game was a knife fight. And that's exactly what it was. And then I'm sure, I haven't checked the police logs today, but I can only imagine there were several actual knife fights in Philadelphia last night. Why is it that when our sports teams win, we decide that that's okay to go out into the streets, flip cars, eat horse manure?
It's not okay.
There was a guy, I don't want to call him a gentleman, there's a number of other things I could call him, in Philadelphia last night who celebrated the Super Bowl victory by eating horse manure. That's where we're at, folks. Welcome to 2018. Does it feel like the end for the Patriots? That's a serious conversation I want to start with today, though, because my wife, who's a Patriots fan, she's been talking about this for the last 2 weeks. And it felt like if they won last night, after the game, it wouldn't have been a complete shock to see somebody announce that they were retiring, whether it was Bill Belichick, whether it was Tom Brady. Brady was absolutely torn up last night. He's such a competitor. Belichick was too busy worrying about not telling people why he didn't play Malcolm Butler, which, by the way,
still doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but it also didn't make a difference.
No.
I mean,
it didn't make any difference.
You put Malcolm Butler out there, no difference whatsoever. You know what did make a difference? Nick Foles winning the MVP award last night, because it's one of the many things that led to our downfall in the Carl Ernie's pick six, which I will take a moment here. I am a gracious loser. Most people who have known me for most of my life would just say I'm a loser. But I do want to congratulate Scott and Mark, and to a much lesser extent, Kyle. Kyle wasn't on the team last year when they first wrested the trophy from our hands for the first time ever. It's anticlimactic, and I can tell you this from a number of times standing on the sideline with Floyd of Rosedale and the Cy-Hawk trophy and a number of other rivalry trophies. It is anticlimactic when the trophy remains in the hands of the team that possesses it. And I wanted nothing more than to take back the empty pint. And we were on the right track, because if you recall, the very first prop bet that hit last night, the coin toss was heads. So we got out to an early start, an early lead. And then, what was it, Tom Brady over under 294.5 passing yards? He had over 500 passing yards. He did everything he could to help them win that game last night. Quarterback or non-quarterback MVP? Oh, I'm going to play the odds here. Non-quarterback, Foles. I got really excited when Zach Ertz was on the stage after the game was over.
And I looked at the stat line, and there was no way.
Ertz is going to, Nick Foles, who may or may not be the starting quarterback for the Eagles next year. Think about that. You can't take Carson Wentz's job away and give it to a career backup
to
have an okay run down the stretch for you.
He will not be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's going to be a very interesting case as to where he's going to end up, because you think about the way the turn that his career took when he left Philadelphia the first time, went to St. Louis, and how bad he looked under Jeff Fisher. And I think a lot of people are getting the picture as to why he looked so bad in St. Louis. It had a lot to do with coaching. He nearly quit football and then came back as a backup. So it's going to be very interesting to see if he follows the career path of trying to make some more money and wanting to be a starter in a place where a team is desperate for a quarterback, which might not be a great thing, or if he wants to remain the backup in Philadelphia.
Ryan from Walford wants to know, would you rather eat horse crap or a Tide Pod? I'm guessing that guy has done both. I'm going to lean, I think, you're not going to necessarily die from eating the manure. You could from eating a Tide Pod, but I think that's a no-win proposition there. I understand getting excited about your team winning something, and God knows what would happen in these parts if the Hawkeyes ever won an NCAA basketball championship or the FCS playoff. But eating horse crap, no.
Well, somebody does that just for attention.
Woo-hoo!
Right?
Yeah, I'm
that is
celebrate.
Somebody who has
what's
is
this?
So pressed for attention that
it's
they
where
think
we're
that
at
eating horse crap.
Hey, this is going to go
only
viral.
Way that they can get their 15 minutes of fame.
This is going to go viral. By the way, and to the surprise of nobody, the man was wearing Zubaz. Do you know what Zubaz are?
I do not know what Zubaz are.
Okay.
Or is it Zubaz?
Zubaz. This is where I feel really old. In the late 90s, there was a fashion craze. They're sort of pajama-looking pants.
Was Justin Timberlake wearing Zubaz?
No, I don't believe so. He was taking a selfie with the kid in the stands, though. That was kind of cool. And then performing with Prince, and depending on whether or not you like Justin Timberlake, I know a lot of people thought that the dead hologram guy had a better halftime show than the real live human being did. Zubaz are pajama-like pants with zebra print, but they're in team colors. And the really fancy ones, I think they also have the team logo maybe on the left thigh. The guy was wearing a Randall Cunningham retro jersey, which I can almost guarantee you he paid $30 for and had it shipped from China. There's no way somebody who eats horse manure pays $300 for an authentic Mitchell & Ness jersey. But he's wearing a bootleg Randall Cunningham throwback jersey and Zubaz. Now, if you told me, hey, I've got a propositional bet, the first person to celebrate the Eagles' win by eating horse manure will or will not be wearing Zubaz, I would have taken will be wearing, regardless of what the payout was.
So basically what you're saying is the guy that chased the Amtrak and ran into the pole looks like a genius at this point.
He is, at this point, probably among the brightest of the Eagles fans. That franchise and that city, it's a great sports city, regardless of what you say about many of its fans and Phillies fans, Eagles fans, Flyers fans. I've never really heard anything bad about 76ers fans, but the other three fan bases, I know they get a rough rap sometimes. But for the Eagles, first Lombardi Trophy, there was a story I read from the Delaware Times about a guy, an Eagles fan, that had bought champagne in 1980 when they played the Raiders in the Super Bowl, and they lost that game. So he said he was going to keep it was Andre, too, not exactly the top shelf. He's going to keep it in the refrigerator until they won. So this 87-year-old guy last night finally popped the cork on a 37. That bottle of champagne was as old as I am and probably tasted about as good. 319-366-1600. Reach out to us. We got the Hertin and Stocker text line going today. We got Kyle out there just begging for you to pick up the phone and give him a call. 319-366-1600. We also have a very nice gift certificate from Hertin and Stocker today. Valentine's Day right around the corner. Our text line sponsor hooking us up with those gift certificates all week long. Let's go to John in Columbus Junction. He wants to weigh in on whether or not the Patriots dynasty is dead. John, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I would like to chime in on the Patriots dynasty being dead, buried, done, and over with, and it couldn't have happened any sooner or to a more prestigious franchise than what you got up in New England. I think that we've seen Father Time kind of rear its head when it comes to Tom Terrific throwing, for lack of a better word, ducks like Donovan McNabb used to throw or Michael Vick back in the day. Like, it was a great game. I enjoyed watching Philly walk away with the trophy, and I liked it even better seeing Tom Brady's Super Bowl record fall to 5-3 and kind of knocking down a rung. And with the departure of Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels, yeah, the Patriots dynasty is done. Time for the next team up. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
And thank you for listening, John. You can follow him, by the way, 366-1600. Bill Belichick has gone through this before. Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, he's replaced coordinators. But when he welcomed Josh McDaniels back into the fold after McDaniels fell flat as a head coach and the emergence of Patricia as a defensive, you just felt like that was sort of this new nucleus there. And Brady, yeah, he's 40 years old. He's not, I know people say he's got four more years and he wants to play four or five more years. I don't know. And then Belichick is just so about the idea. I mean, does that man look like he enjoys his job? No. He may very well. He just doesn't look like he enjoys anything. Now, I've seen him smile before, but that man eats, leaves, breathes, sleeps football 24/7. And I don't know. Once you've been to the top of the mountain, you always want to go back. I get that. But last night, in watching that, I felt like that was sort of it. And now maybe if they had won the game, maybe you do have people retiring today. I don't know.
We'll
never know.
So
but if ESPN floating this, Gronkowski's talking about retiring.
I think the only way that this is it for the New England Patriots is if Bill Belichick retires. And I think that it's probably a 65%, there's probably a 60 to 65% chance that he doesn't retire, but I think he is going to consider it. But if he comes back and Tom Brady comes back, who in the AFC is going to knock them off of their perch at the top.
I believe I saw the odds, and of course this is a very inexact science because we haven't had the draft yet. We haven't had free agency. But the odds come out almost immediately after the Super Bowl is over, and the Patriots and the Eagles are 1-2 as far as favorites. The Steelers were third in line.
Exactly. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who everybody assumes is going to get over the hump, and they can't do it. Will Le'Veon Bell be back in Pittsburgh next year? There are a lot of question marks with that. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who knows what they'll look like next year? With Deshaun Watson back in that division and Andrew Luck back in that division and the Tennessee Titans knocking on the doorstep. The AFC North, there's the Steelers, and then the Ravens, Bengals, and Browns. And nobody in the AFC East, as long as those two are there, are going to get over the hump and take the crown in the AFC East. It will be the Patriots as long as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are there next year. So I think that a lot of people are quick to say, well, this is the end of the dynasty. Well, if it's the end of the dynasty, that means that somebody in that conference has to end it for them and make sure they don't get to the Super Bowl. And I know it's early, but there are very few teams in the AFC that have the ability to do that.
Now, there are conflicting reports out there on Josh McDaniels. Some are saying he is the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. That's been reported for weeks. Pro Football Talk yesterday, was saying, wait a minute, there's talk that McDaniels isn't going anywhere, and then that's fueling the he's not going anywhere because Belichick's going to retire, and then McDaniels is going to be the next head coach of the Patriots. Let's allow the dust to settle here. I'm a little disappointed we didn't get to play How Drunk Is Robert Kraft.
I know.
Because had they won, we would have had more audio. Jeffrey Lurie, I always want to say Loria. He was the owner of the Marlins. Jeffrey Lurie, I thought he had a great speech last night in giving that trophy over, at least in theory, to the Philadelphia Eagles and their fans. And that franchise has a lot to look forward to in the future. We talked to Tony Cutillo on the program last week, a big Eagles fan, a radio host from in Philadelphia. They feel like they are built for the long haul. And you've got Carson Wentz, who, look, I don't get things right every once in a while. I wish we had the audio from 3 years ago or whatever in the draft, leading up to the draft, where I said, I think Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback here, the guy that you want. And I remember there was some pushback from some other people that said, no, he's going to be okay, but he's not the franchise guy. He certainly looks the part. Now, Nick Foles, I saw a tweet earlier. As a matter of fact, I retweeted it. If you follow me on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, somebody said that Nick Foles is like the girl in the romantic comedy who takes off her glasses and lets her hair down, and you realize that instead of being the book nerd, that she's this attractive woman, except instead of the glasses, he took off Jeff Fisher. I knew that would make you laugh.
Did you see the Deadspin article earlier today about Jeff Fisher by chance?
No.
Jeff Fisher, the headline reads like this: Jeff Fisher must be arrested and tried for his crimes against football.
I'm assuming they've compiled a full
Case Keenum,
list.
Case okay. Nick Foles, Jared yeah. Goff.
These quarterbacks do seem to get better when he's no longer in the picture.
And he would always have that built-in excuse as to why his team was a young team and why next year was going to be better than this year, and it never was. And the staff that he put around these guys is somewhat negligent. And yes, all of them, all of those quarterbacks were way better when he was not around.
And 88-44 drawing Vodka Sam comparisons to Kevin Hart. I did not see Kevin Hart on the NFL Network last night. I did see him get denied by the security guard trying to get on, which, and dude, that's not the time and the place. I know you're famous. I know you're rich. There were a lot of rich, famous people there last night. Mike Trout was there. Mike Trout, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel, two-time AL MVP, season ticket holder to the Eagles, big Eagles fan. You don't see Mike Trout trying to get up on the podium. He's at least a professional athlete. Steph Curry was there. I don't know who he was rooting for. Bradley Cooper, if there was a propositional bet on shots of Bradley Cooper on TV last night. I hope you had the over. Also, and we didn't really talk about this last week, but it was a prop bet in Las Vegas, over under 2.5 number of people to throw a pass in the Super Bowl last night. And that went over.
It went over.
By 1.5, the Eagles connected on their pass. The Patriots did not. Somebody said a Hall of Famer makes that catch. I was like, no. It was on Brady's fingertips. But I will say this, Doug
Brady
Peterson,
trolling.
And as a Packers fan, couldn't have been happier last night to, not that I would ever say this with my wife around, could not have been happier last night for Doug Peterson, Brett Favre's backup for all those years, to win a Lombardi trophy as a head coach. Doug Peterson's call to go for it in that situation, and then that play call, that's Randy Marsh wheelbarrow category right there. If you're a South Park fan, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, well, that's my fault for using a reference that you don't get. 426. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back. Kyle's going to have a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. John Walters coming up with us at the bottom of the hour. Plenty more to come here on KGYM. Don't go anywhere.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
On February 10th, the Knights of Columbus will be hosting a benefit event for Birthright of Cedar Rapids. Bring your family for food, prizes, face painting, silent auction, and more. Tickets are only $7. Children 5 and under are free.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Check, check, and check. Whole to-do list done. And it's game time.
I only gave you that list an hour ago.
Right.
You fixed the dishwasher, washed the dog, and got us a mortgage in less than an hour?
Yep. Dishwasher was simple, Bruno was no trouble, and I got us an online mortgage at Fairfax State Savings Bank, where we were approved in like 20 minutes.
You demand, babe. Let's watch that game. High five.
Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com for a mortgage or refinance today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The quality of the product that we are offering is going to be much higher than at a box store. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. We are HP sales and service authorized, and we're able to get better products that clients will be able to use. It will last longer in their business. I can sell a laptop that will come with a 3-year warranty because it's a higher quality.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Welcome back in. Todd and Alex with you till 7 o'clock tonight. The third wheel, Kyle in the studio for your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa women took care of Minnesota at home yesterday, 92-84. All five Hawkeye starters reached double figures, and Megan Gustafson led with 25 points and 15 rebounds, giving her 49 career double-doubles, an all-time record at Iowa for men or women. She broke another record today when she was named the Big Ten Player of the Week for a seventh time this season. With over 24 points and 12 rebounds per game, she's second nationally in scoring and fifth in rebounding. The Iowa men got absolutely walloped by Penn State on Saturday night, 82-58 in State College. Tyler Cook and Luca Garza reached double figures, but the Hawkeyes shot 38% from the floor in their worst offensive performance since scoring 55 against Virginia Tech and their worst in conference play. They host fourth-ranked Michigan State tomorrow night. Iowa State lost to Baylor 81-67 on Saturday and also lost Hans Braes to a knee issue. Coach Steve Prohm said today he'll be out for at least this week with what he's calling knee soreness. He also said that starting point guard Nick Weiler-Babb could be back for Saturday's game hosting Oklahoma, but maybe more likely he'll be back for next week's game hosting Kansas. The Iowa wrestling team took care of Minnesota on Friday, including a second consecutive 15-0 Tech fall by freshman Spencer Lee over a top-10 opponent. They followed that by beating Northwestern yesterday with another top-10 victory from Lee as well as Brandon Sorensen. They'll travel to top-ranked Penn State on Saturday. And tonight after the show, it's the Cyclone Sideline Show on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
Yeah, the UNI men, a loser Saturday as well, 77-66 to Indiana State. What's John Walters have to say about that loss at Baylor? You can hear him in his own words. The play-by-play voice of the Cyclones joins us next.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere, and you remember right after the place closes. Ugh! Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at LinderTire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. This is both easy and peasy. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment for tires or maintenance at LinderTire.com. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Right on their reputation for integrity and excellent service.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, the Lions officially named Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia their new head coach. The day after leading the Eagles to the first Super Bowl championship in franchise history, quarterback Nick Foles not really interested in talking about what his future might hold. Foles said there'll be a time and place for that. With starter Carson Wentz expected back from a torn ACL and Foles playing as well as he did, Philadelphia should listen to offers for Foles, according to ESPN's Field Yates.
The value for Nick Foles will never be higher, despite the fact that he has just 1 year left on his contract. But it's at a manageable price point. He's just played, even with that 2013 season factored in, the best stretch of football in his career.
Field Yates, Foles under contract through next season. The Eagles championship parade scheduled for Thursday morning in Philadelphia. NHL Penguins forward Patrick Hornquist is week to week because of a lower body injury. And in the new college basketball AP Top 25 poll, Villanova, Virginia, and Purdue are 1, 2, and 3 respectively for the fourth straight week. Michigan State moved up a spot to number 4.
Valentine's bouquets come in all shapes and prices, but the best are at 1-800-Flowers.com. You can get 24 multicolored roses for only $29.99, or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL.
For Valentine's Day, I got my husband a 23andMe kit so he could discover more about himself through his DNA. He received over 75 detailed online reports about his health and ancestry, and he's fallen in love with himself in a whole new way. A genetic kind of way.
I am a Viking warrior.
Yeah, guess who discovered that his DNA is 18% Scandinavian?
This Valentine's Day, get 20% off your home DNA kit when you order today at 23andMe.com. Offer ends February 14th.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
Ugh, a middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flow.
Reflection on the letter V. The best things in life are Vs, RVs, ATVs, SUVs, V. Making things soar in the outdoors, never bored. Saving money because I bundled the policies. Victory! Like beating Vikings at volleyball on a volcano. Try not to fall.
Bundle your outdoor vehicles and save with Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
the 4 for $4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for $4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm junior bacon cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for $4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
4:35, welcome back in. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight. All three frequencies, 1600 AM, the historic main gym heard all across eastern Iowa, 106.3 FM, the south gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the north gym in Cedar Rapids. Doesn't matter how you are listening to us, where you're listening to us, most likely you're dealing with a heavy blanket of snow. Taking a peek out the window. Still coming down here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. So as you get ready to head home and leave your desk or your cubicle, your office, whatever, wherever you do your work, as you leave tonight at 5 o'clock, or if you're maybe staying a little later, working overtime, whatever it is, try to be careful out there because, well, other people could be slipping and sliding all over the place. And when I back when I drove my Mustang, which was my year-round car, I was probably the most careful driver in winter condition. And then you got the people with the SUVs zipping all over the place. Now I've got the SUV, and I still drive like I'm driving the Mustang. Other people are fishtailing and zipping all over the place. No, not me. So be careful out there. We want you back with us here tomorrow. Should be a great show. We'll get you ready for Iowa and Michigan State at Carver Hawkeye Arena tomorrow night, 8 o'clock tip-off. Iowa State not in action again until Wednesday. Cyclones will take on Texas Tech. They're coming off an 81-67 loss at Baylor over the weekend. And with us now to break it down, as he does every Monday, John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones. His appearance brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And John, I imagine that trip back from Waco felt a little bit longer this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good basketball game for, you know, the first 20 minutes, and Iowa State was right in there, down, you know, up by two at the half, and felt pretty good about things, I think, going into halftime. But, you know, defensively, they just didn't compete well enough in that second half. They gave up way too many points. You can't allow 51 on the road and have any chance to win in a half, and that's what happened. You know, the Baylor got Iowa State in some foul trouble. They pounded the ball inside. And they really scored a bunch of points in the paint, and they're good at doing that, but it was not enough resistance on Iowa State's part. So back to the drawing board and try to figure out how to go to get an even tougher road win in Lubbock on Wednesday.
You lead me right to my next question. 52 points in the paint allowed to Baylor. How much better is the interior defense going to have to be against a very, very tough and physical Texas Tech team on the road?
It's going to have to be really good, and that was a strength for Iowa State against Texas Tech the first time around when they beat them, and beat them handily in Ames. And they really, really did a nice job in that game of collapsing the defense, forcing Texas Tech to try to make contested jump shots on the perimeter, and they didn't allow Texas Tech to get in a parade to the free throw line, which is something that, you know, a lot of Texas Tech's success is their strength at driving the basketball, getting into the paint, scoring points in the paint, and getting to the free throw line and adding to that total. And that was something that Tech was unable to do that day in Ames. So hopefully Iowa State can recreate some of that. They're going to have a chance to win down there. But the plan was really, really solid when they beat them here, and hopefully they can do some of those same things.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones with us. How does this team do without Hans Brace?
I don't think that's a huge factor, and I don't mean that as any kind of a slight to Hans, but he just hasn't been playing a lot, and when he has been playing, it hasn't been effectively lately. You know, he had knee problems, you know, dating back 2-3 years. So they knew that, you know, he was a guy that was going to be maybe a 10 minutes a game type of guy coming into the program. And he was coming along pretty well, doing some good things, and then really badly turned his ankle. And when he did that, it kind of sidelined him for quite some time, and then the knees started acting up again. And so he's just not been healthy for probably a month now. And a guy that's pretty limited because of his history of knee injuries to begin with. So I think this is probably the right move, is to just try to get him some rest and see if he can get him back where he's more effective. Because when he's been playing lately, he just has not been himself. And so I think that's definitely a good strategy. And hopefully Hans can start feeling closer to 100% so that he can make a contribution down the stretch.
Along that same vein, I know Steve said that maybe Nick Weiler-Babb would be back this weekend, but it certainly sounds like he's going to miss the next two games still, right?
Yeah, he pretty much ruled out that he would play at Texas Tech. And, you know, he said, we'll reevaluate it, we'll see. He said there's a possibility, you know, for the Oklahoma game at home on Saturday, but he thought realistically the Kansas game at Hilton Coliseum next Tuesday would be more likely. So if he does sit out till the Kansas game, that would mean he missed four games, which is tough in the middle of the meat of your schedule, especially when you're facing so many ranked teams. Three of those four teams are rated. But, you know, that's part of the deal. That's everybody deals with injuries this time of year. Iowa State's no different. And so getting Nick back as soon as possible would be very helpful to this team. But, you know, I like the way they adjusted to playing without him the first time. But, you know, West Virginia is so different than anybody else that you're going to see on your schedule that I think some of the things that Nick brought to the table were more clearly missing in the Baylor game than they were in the West Virginia game.
Lindell Wigginton getting a little bit of time at point guard with Nick Weiler-Babb out, and it's interesting because he wasn't a primary point guard last year at Oak Hill as the primary ball handler. How is he adjusting to that position?
I think pretty well. You know, I mean, that's probably Lindell's future. He wants to play in the NBA. It's tough to do that, especially at 6'2". You almost have to be a point guard. And I think that he sees that as his long-term avenue to playing professional basketball. And I think that ultimately that's where he'll end up at Iowa State. He's playing it out of necessity right now. He's really just a guard. You know, he's not necessarily a two guard. He's not necessarily a point guard. He's just a guard. And I think as time goes on, he'll develop more of those point guard skills. He still needs to tighten his handle more. But Lindell is good at getting to the basket. Wasn't able to finish a lot of times when he got there against Baylor, and that had a lot to do with their length and the, you know, the physicality they played with in the paint. And Lindell was unable to finish some shots, but I like the way he keeps attacking. He is aggressive. He is not afraid of anything. And when he gets double teamed, he splits that double team and tries to get to the basket and create something. And I know they want him to pick his spots a little bit better on that, but I like the aggressiveness. And I think Lindell can do just fine as a point guard. And, you know, I think these games right now are very, very valuable for him going forward, because I think as time goes on in his Iowa State career, he's going to handle more and more ball handling responsibilities. And so being kind of forced into it right now is probably maybe pushing that ahead a little bit. I thought he played very well against West Virginia and played really well in the first half against Baylor. I mean, he had 14 points at halftime. He was doing some great things. Iowa State was leading at the half. He didn't play as well in the second half, but again, I think it comes back to he didn't finish shots, and then that kind of affects the rest of your game. So need to get him back on track as well this week. He was a key component against Tech the first time. He needs to be again this time.
Lots of guys weren't finishing their shots against Baylor. Was it just an off night for everybody, or was it something that Baylor was doing that was contributing to the shooting woes?
Well, I think they're tough to score on with their length. You know, not only Joe the Wall Achiwill, who's 7'1", but you look at Mastin at about 6'9", Nuni Omot at about 6'8". They just have a lot of length that they can bring. And then their guards are good defenders as well. Jake Lindsey's a very underrated guard defensively, I think. So they're hard to score on. And Iowa State scored enough in the first half to be up by two, and they allowed 34% shooting, or that's what Iowa State shot in the first half, and that's what they shot in the second half. So the variation wasn't their ability to score. The variation was that in the second half, they all of a sudden allowed 51 points and 62% shooting. You're just not going to win. So it keeps coming back to the defensive end. And Coach Prohm will tell you that, you know, their offense a lot of times is dictated by their defense. If they're playing good defense, they can get out and run. They can force some turnovers. They can get some transition baskets before teams get a chance to set up their defense. And Iowa State really needs to do that. They're going to have a hard time winning Big 12 games if it's just half-court games. It's just walk it up and play in the half-court. It's just not their strength. They can do it well at times, but they need some transition baskets. And so that really starts at the defensive end.
Is that game this weekend a little bit different, perhaps, if Cameron Lard doesn't pick up those two quick fouls early in the second half?
It might have been. You know, Cam, I think when he got the two quick fouls, sat for a while, and then came back in, he just didn't guard anybody. You know, I mean, he was so afraid of fouling out that he just really didn't defend anybody, and that didn't help, you know. And so he did not have one of his stronger games. The statistics look pretty good, but, you know, if you're watching the game, he just wasn't himself. He's normally a very aggressive defender. He's going to try to block shots. He's really going to be physical down there, and he wasn't that way down the stretch of that game. And so he needs to get back to that. Solomon Young, I think those two guys is a 1-2 punch. That has to be the strength of Iowa State's interior defense, is that those guys are physical and they're willing to take the risk of committing a foul, but they can't be unaggressive. If they are, they're in trouble. And so they need to get him going again. But yeah, you know, I think part of the growth process for a young player, he got his third foul. Coach Prohm didn't take him out right then. He thought, I'm going to see if I can steal a couple more minutes with him. And on the next possession, not Cam's fault, the primary defender got beat off the dribble, and Cam coming over to help committed the foul. He has to avoid that situation, so it is partly his fault, but at the same time, it's a shared responsibility. But he just has to understand how important he is out on the floor to Iowa State, and part of that is not getting those consecutive fouls like that.
Now, John, we've talked about the youth and inexperience of this team, and coming into the year, I think expected some highs and some lows. Is this kind of where you expected this team to be, or are the highs and lows a little bit more extreme than you expected?
You know, I think both. I record-wise, I'm not surprised where Iowa State is, but there have been real high highs and real low lows along the way. You know, you look at beating the three wins that Iowa State's had in conference play have all been against good opponents by double digits. You know, they pounded they beat Baylor in Hilton Coliseum. They pounded Texas Tech in Hilton Coliseum. And then they pounded West Virginia in Hilton Coliseum. And so they have three really good wins. But the losses, you know, some of those were close early in conference play. Lately, they haven't been. They've been getting away from them to the point where they're double-digit losses. And I think to get back to having a chance, you got to get back to being competitive on the road where it's a possession game down the stretch and you at least have a chance. And that's where this team's trying to get back to. And I think that's important this week that they go down to Lubbock and really compete for 40 minutes and have that opportunity with 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game, just like they did at Kansas and they did at Oklahoma State, where, you know, you can win this game if you make a few plays. Now, they didn't get the job done in those games, but they put themselves in that position. Lately, they have not been able to even get themselves in that position on the road, and they need to get back to that point.
John Walters with us for just another minute or two here. His appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. It is sort of anticlimactic this week. It used to be a big deal, football signing day. Now you refer to it as the late signing period. But do you get the sense that Matt Campbell is going to be pleased when everything is said and done this week?
Yeah, I really do. I think, and it's obviously in large part because of what happened in December, but I think he felt really good about everything that happened in December, and now, you know, you may add a piece or two here or there in February, but overall, I just think the class is something that he's going to be very, very happy with, and they're going to have a signing day celebration in the Sukup End Zone Club on Wednesday night. I won't be able to be a part of it because we'll be down in Lubbock, but they're going to have it's open to the fans, and they can come out and hear about the recruits and meet some of the players and get autographs and see the Liberty Bowl trophy. So there's a lot of fun things going on Wednesday night at this event, and I hope a lot of people come out. The doors are going to open at 5, and it would be great to see a big crowd. But I think he's going to be excited. I mean, I think he's filled a lot of needs in this class. The class is going to be ranked as high as any class he's had at Iowa State, and yet it would be ranked even higher if he didn't sign a kicker and a punter. You do those out of necessity, and they got good ones. They're very excited about the kicker and punter they got, but that automatically drags your class ranking down when you sign those guys. And so overall, I think it's an excellent class for Iowa State and has a chance to get even better over the next couple of days.
John, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight, and buckle up and have a safe trip to the Applebee's in Ames tonight. Hopefully the weather doesn't keep folks from joining you there. I'm assuming you guys are getting hit just as hard as we are over here.
Oh, yeah. If there's a major snowstorm in Ames, you can bet that it's on a Monday night and that I'll be doing the white-knuckle thing home at 8:30 at night after the call-in show. That's just a tradition like none other.
All right. Folks can hear it right here on KGYM Courtside Show with John tonight. We appreciate it as always. Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
81-67, loss at Baylor. Next up, as we mentioned, Texas Tech. And, yeah, signing day on tap as well this week, and not a whole lot of fun anymore.
I enjoy it because I consistently say how overrated the recruiting rankings are and how overplayed the hat dances and the giving these 17 and 18-year-old kids the idea that they're some kind of celebrity, how detrimental that can be. And I like the fact that the late signing period has taken that a little bit away. I have no problem with them having fun, but some of these recruiting, the amount of attention people pay to it is a little bit overboard.
Snowfall totals so far, courtesy of our friends at CBS2. Iowa City right now at about 3.7 inches, and Cedar Rapids at about just a little over 4.1 inches. Kelowna tipping the scales at 5.3 inches so far, and that's snow tapering off, or not quite as heavy to the northeast of here. Dubuque's only got about 1.8 inches so far, but it's still coming down. Take your time getting around. And as Ann reminds everybody on the Hertin and Stocker text line, turn your headlights on. I don't have to do that anymore because mine, they automatically come on when I start the vehicle, but it is a lot easier to see folks when they have their headlights on out there driving in the bad weather. Hopefully, this is going to be the last big snowstorm of the season. Fingers crossed. But chances are, heck, we can have snow like this in May sometime. I mean,
don't say that.
Yeah, I'm not rooting for it, just like a lot of people weren't rooting for New England or Philadelphia last night. They were just watching the commercials, right? 4:52, we're going to get to those coming up in a little bit. Sad news to report from the realm of celebrities as well. And, I'll leave it at that. But a celebrity that many people will recognize, although maybe you don't know his name, has reportedly passed away. 4:53, we'll tell you who it is when we return after this. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Okay, everybody, I've called this brainstorm because senior management says we need big ideas. So, what have you got?
Well, Dave, how about we...
No.
Okay, we can try this.
Stupid.
What if we started charging employees to use the bathroom?
I love that idea. That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, Dad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Winning at sports and at sports broadcasting means changing things up.
Just like La Quinta Inns and Suites is changing up their look.
A renovated lobby that's so contemporary it even makes Golic look cool.
Yes, it does. And a totally updated fitness center that even has Wingo feeling like a workout.
I'm ripped.
plus plenty of comfortable spaces to hang out.
Yep, this La Quinta look definitely has a vibe of victory.
So you can just relax, refresh, and get ready for your next big meeting.
Prepare to win at business with La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Book now at LQ.com.
LowTUSA.com is a website to go to if you're a man aged 40 or older, or even if you're in the neighborhood and feeling like perhaps low testosterone could be an issue for you. Low testosterone manifests itself in a number of symptoms. Perhaps you're getting a little more forgetful, starting to carry a little extra weight around the midsection. Your performance at work is slipping. Maybe you just feel like you're not as good of a father or a husband as you could be. Many, many contributing factors could tip you off that low testosterone is a problem for you. Luckily, there's a way to treat that. Mentality's come up with a way that's 90% successful regardless of your physical condition, and you can find out more if you visit their website, lowtusa.com. Again, Mentality, a new local men's health clinic located in North Liberty. You can simply make an appointment online, and they will see you, give you a little blood test, and find out whether or not your testosterone levels are to the point where you need testosterone replacement therapy. 455, welcome back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show, and sad news to report from Hollywood. Many of you will know the characters. You may not know his actual name, but TMZ is reporting that John Mahoney has passed away at the age of 77. If you're wondering, who's John Mahoney? Where should I know that? How can I place that name? He's better known to the world as Frasier Crane's dad on the Cheers spinoff, Frasier. But before that, and Scott Unash, our sports director, will know this if he's sitting in his office. Before he played Frasier's dad, he was actually on Cheers playing a different character, a jingle writer by the name of Cy Flambeck, who tried to write a jingle for Cheers to the tune of Old MacDonald. And the joke at the end of the program was that even though it wasn't a very good jingle and he misspelled the name of the bar, let's just say it was a catchy tune, and they regretted not hiring Cy Flambeck. John Mahoney passed away at the age of 77. He was also in, if I remember right, Eight Men Out. He played the manager of the White Sox in that movie about the Black Sox scandal. 319-366-1600. Mac McCausland is going to join us next. He'll kick off hour number two. Right now, Kyle's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa women beat Minnesota at home yesterday, 92-84. All five Hawkeye starters reached double figures, and Megan Gustafson led with 25 points and 15 rebounds, giving her 49 career double-doubles, an all-time record at Iowa for men or women. She broke another record today when she was named the Big Ten Player of the Week for a seventh time this season, and with over 24 points and 12 rebounds per game, she's second nationally in scoring and fifth in rebounding. The Iowa men got absolutely walloped by Penn State on Saturday night, 82-58 in State College. Tyler Cook and Luka Garza reached double figures, but the Hawkeyes shot 38% from the floor. It was their worst offensive performance in scoring 55 points against Virginia Tech and their worst in conference play. They host fourth-ranked Michigan State tomorrow night. Iowa State lost to Baylor 81-67 on Saturday and also lost Hans Braise to a knee issue. Coach Steve Prohm said today he'll be out for at least this week with what he's calling knee soreness. He also said that starting point guard Nick Weiler-Babb could be back for Saturday's game hosting Oklahoma, but maybe more likely next week's game hosting Kansas. The Iowa wrestling team took care of Minnesota on Friday, including a second consecutive 15-0 tech fall by freshman Spencer Lee over a top-10 opponent. They followed that by beating Northwestern yesterday with another top-10 victory from Lee, as well as Brandon Sorensen. They're going to travel to top-ranked Penn State on Saturday. And tonight after our show, it's going to be the Cyclone Sideline Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
Speaking of Penn State, they laid one on the Hawkeyes Saturday night, 82-58. We will touch on that and a whole lot more, including the nationally ranked Michigan State basketball team coming to town tomorrow. Hopefully, they're able to get in to the Eastern Iowa Airport tonight because of the weather. Mac McCausland set to join us next as we begin hour number two of three, the Todd Brommelkamp Show. More on the way.